Happy Hour Podcast with host Ralph Malbro and featuring bloggers Andrew Juge of SaintsNation.com, Kevin Held of The Team Drops the Ball, and Dave Cariello of Canal Street Chronicles.
Hey.
This podcast is nothing but serious football talk and hardcore analysis.
Which four of you would survive the longest in the zombie apocalypse, and in which order would you die?
Well, Ralph, no offense, you're going first.
Oh, definitely. No.
The zombies would smell Dave's sugar blood and target him.
They'd get him.
I don't even have a joke, Dave. Dave smells like nougat.
Now here's your host, Ralph Malbro.
All right, welcome to Saints Happy Hour Podcast. We are sponsored by MyBookie.com. Remember, who you're betting on is just as important as who you're betting with. That's why I always tell people to bet with MyBookie. My cat does it as well. Trust me, guys, they are the best bet this season. They've been in business for years. They have great reviews online, and the mobile site is super easy to use. I would only recommend the best service, and remember, I'm urging you to make your way to MyBookie because you win, they pay. They have live in-game betting, the most rewarding player perks, and business for your fantasy guys out there. You can bet over-unders on how many fantasy points you score. So join now. Go to MyBookie, and they'll match your deposit dollar for dollar. Use the promo code Saints. Use the promo code Happy Hour to activate the offer. Visit MyBookie online today. Unfortunately, guys, I had to do this.
Oh, no! We suck again!
Dave, you were at the game in person. I couldn't make it because my mother-in-law, she had to have an emergency appendectomy, so her appendix out. I couldn't go. But she did. She's fine. She healed up. She scored two touchdowns for Tampa yesterday. But, Dave, you witnessed the disaster that was the Saints defense in person. Your initial thoughts?
Unmute yourself, Dave.
I mean, it kind of just felt, it really did feel like the good old days, you know, like the 2012s or the 2008s. I mean, it had that feeling. Well, you know, it is now. You know, it's funny. Like the morning of the game, as I'm getting ready, and I took my son to the game, and I almost texted you guys. I just had this bad feeling, just like crashed down on me like a wave, and I was like, you know what?
Is today the worst day of your life? Yeah.
And I was like, you know what? I don't have a good feeling about this game anymore. And it's funny, I never sent you guys that text, and so I can offer you no proof, but I obviously turned out to be right. I mean, it was, you know, the first half wasn't terrible. The Saints were still in it, but
I felt fine at halftime. I was like... Yeah. You know?
Absolutely. I mean, they were still in it in the first half, but you know, obviously the second half it all came unglued. And I honestly, even when they were really down, I was getting feelings of the Redskins game from last year. I was like, you know, they could do this. You know, they only
Tampa could gag this away.
Yeah, I mean, you know, they only need three touchdowns and they just need to go for the 2-point conversion every time. And you know, they're still great on 2-point conversions. They got both of them. They did well on 2-point conversions during the preseason. I mean, and of course, I think that speaks to
Tampa was offering no resistance defensively.
Right. I think that speaks to how well the offense. I mean, obviously, really, we can't really blame this game on the offense when you put up 40 points and Drew Brees. I mean, he is fucking ageless. Okay, let me tell you something. I sit in the second row. I am right down there. I am field level. Okay, being that low, you see the game a little bit differently. Even if you're 20 rows up, it's just different, and you see how the speed of the game, the true speed of the game, certainly more so than watching it on TV. And I mean, Drew, he just looks exactly the same as he has always looked. He was slinging the ball out there. He is so accurate. And part of this is because we've been watching the preseason, so we've been watching not not Hall of Fame caliber quarterbacks for the last month. You know, so we're used to seeing mediocre to less than mediocre quarterback play. But I mean, Drew just looked, he looked as, I have no fear, no concern, no worry that he can continue to play 2 or 3 years down the line, as long as the offensive line can, you know, keep him from getting totally killed. He can take a few hits. I'm not expecting him to stay clean the entire season, but as long as he doesn't get crushed out there, he looks great. He really does. And yeah, for the offense,
wasted
to put up,
another 400 yard, three touchdown, no pick performance.
Exactly. And isn't that, going back to what I said earlier, that's the kind of shit we would say after games back in 2012 or 2007 or 2008. Like, oh my God, Drew is doing everything he possibly can to win these
2014
games.
2015.
Yeah, and we are still we cannot do it. It was frustrating. And what was frustrating about the defense,
everything
was we weren't even close. I mean, it's like Lattimore and Von Bell, I remember specifically on one particular play. I mean, it's not that we were giving up these passes. I mean, they weren't even contested. I mean, this was like going back to Jason David times. I mean, they had 5-10 yard cushions from our.
This was on our paid podcast, which if you donate $1, you can listen to. It was on our patrons show earlier today, Dave, but we joked on that podcast, which was 10 minutes long, that the best defensive play the Saints made all day was when Ken Crawley was roasted deep and fell down and the receiver was wide open, but because the ball was overthrown, it went from third down to fourth down.
Yes, best play. I mean, the defense, the Saints defense is so, I won't say it's the worst Saints defense I've ever seen, because they have many Rob Ryan and Spagnuolo.
I mean, there's too many to choose. All you have to do is,
but it's
2012,
no worse,
like
the
last 5 years.
It's in the category
years.
For worst ever, I would say, worst game I've seen.
There are so many choices in the last 5 years. I mean, how could you even begin to pick?
I mean, I would say that the Atlanta game in 2015 where they ran for, or 2016 where they ran for 200 yards. I would say the 2014 Atlanta game where Matt Ryan threw for 450. I would say the Giant game where Eli threw for 6 touchdowns.
Do you not remember 2012? I mean, the whole season.
Yeah. The Washington game in 2015 when Rob Ryan got fired the day after. That was pretty bad too. But Andrew, I asked you on the Patrons podcast and you didn't have an answer, but as you thought about it more and during the day, like, what's the first thing they've got to fix on this defense?
Well, that's the thing. That's the real problem with this, is that it's all terrible. They didn't fit their run gaps. You know, they didn't fill their gaps. They didn't pursue well. They didn't tackle well. The coverage was poor. The pass rush was non-existent. So top to bottom, like, you really have to, there's nowhere to go but up. I mean, it really and truly, like, they could not possibly put together a worse performance. I mean, the first time the Bucs punted was because they overthrew a bomb to a wide open player on third down.
Now,
they had put 34 points on the board. That was when they first punted. So, you know, I think first and foremost, they got to get something going with the pass rush. I mean, you know, I think a big reason why the secondary was really good last year is they had 40 sacks. So, you know, 0 sacks. I think they had 2 hits on the quarterback, and both were roughing the passers, which were both bullshit, by the way. But, you know, kind of separate from that, I mean, you know, I will say there were a few calls in this game that kind of went against the Saints. You know,
Onyemata and Davenport's.
Yeah, Onyemata gets
bullshit.
Yeah, they get hit for roughing the passers. I mean, the flag's thrown immediately, and I don't think it's roughing the passer. And then there's a throw to O.J. Howard where he blatantly pushes off, and that should have been offensive pass interference.
Here's the thing.
I had a question though. Actually, no, Ralph, go ahead. You go ahead first because you're.
No, I was going to say this is for you, Dave. What is Onyemata supposed to do?
Are they going to call roughing the passer
on any time a guy hits the quarterback and the quarterback falls to the ground and doesn't have the ball? Is it because technically it's a late hit? I mean, is that what it is now?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. That's the way it's been for the last couple of years. People have always been complaining about that. You know, Bobby Hebert talks all the time. Bobby Hebert on WWL is always like, if they had these rules when I played, I could still be playing. All right, first of all, no. Second of all, he's got a point, though. You know, it's like, but there's nothing he can do. It's a bullshit call, but it's probably the correct call as far as the rule is written.
What's the rule?
I don't know.
That's the rule.
No, I don't know. I don't know the specific language.
No, I don't think it is accurate. He doesn't lead with the crown of the helmet. He doesn't make forcible contact to the head of the quarterback or below the knees. So, the only other justification is you can say it's late. That's a late hit.
That was my assumption on why they called that. Yes.
But if he's tackling him as soon as he throws it, I just don't see how that's possible.
And Ryan Fitzpatrick is not elite. He does not deserve those calls, man. I think he should. He's a quarterback you can break in half.
He was elite in that game
for penalties.
I mean, you know, it's totally subjective. The ref has to make this call in real time as it's happening. They don't review these things, so you know, we see the replay and we see that he's hitting him at the same time as he's releasing the ball, or he's certainly not late, but they don't see it like that as it happens, and they've got to make a call in that one instant. My gripe, and by the way, the fans obviously were very angry about many of the calls.
The Michael Thomas call—they were bad for a long so that time, was, even after the Saints scored.
That was my question because I never saw the broadcast. I mean, he definitely never got touched, right?
No.
Because we saw it on the big screen, and they showed one or two angles. I never saw him get touched. That was bullshit.
He wasn't close to being touched.
Yeah, the guy gave up. The guys on the Buccaneer, he totally just gave up on the play. Now, had the Saints not scored, I think Michael Thomas wound up scoring that touchdown on that same drive. I mean, had they not scored on that drive, I would say, hey, that could be – that's a game-changing call. That changes everything. That fucks up momentum. But they wound up scoring on that drive anyway. So, you know, all that was lost was time off the clock, I guess.
I mean, here's the thing that how was the atmosphere at the game, Dave? I felt like the crowd
was pretty good
considering the defense was a burning trash can.
No, I thought, you know, it was for a noon game, I thought it was pretty good. And even, you know, even in the fourth quarter, when a fair amount of fans had left because they thought the game was over. And again, I didn't leave. I really thought that the Saints might actually pull it out and tie it up.
Andrew did too, fair enough. He was texting me.
Yeah. No, I really thought it was going to happen. You know, and especially every time I bring Dylan to a game, they always play these crazy games. And I was like, this is going to be another wild, wild finish. Of course, they couldn't contain Fitzpatrick on third down.
No.
And of course, they also wasted a timeout on the 2-point conversion, which that threw me over the edge. I was livid about that. But even in the fourth quarter on that last drive, when the defense was trying to get that stop, before the snap on the third down play when Fitzpatrick scrambled, it was probably just as loud with 25% of the crowd gone as it was any time during the day. I mean, the people that were there definitely, you know, obviously they understood, you know, this is the play. And I was pretty impressed.
So, Andrew, I talked about it on Twitter today with people. I think Craig Robertson needs to play at linebacker. look, not because he's great or even good, but he brings things to this table that I feel like the Saints need, and that includes he brings energy because he's a guy that's always scrapping for his job, and he brings that energy of I got to play awesome or they might cut me, which is good. And that dude, he's the best blitzing linebacker the Saints have. And he makes plays. I just feel like he needs to play more because this defense, they don't need consistency. They just need a couple of dudes to make a couple of plays.
Yeah, I mean, if he's going to get – everyone's getting beat. Everyone's getting roasted on this defense. So if we can get a guy in there that – if we can get a guy in there that just occasionally gets roasted and actually does something the rest of the time, then sign me up for that. I mean – again, right now it's not talent that's the issue. It's execution, it's effort, it's passion. And I mean, Craig Robertson's a guy who's always given you those things. So I don't see how you could argue against that. To me, it's past like what are your 40 times? It's beyond, you know, any sort of like what is your potential if you're a starter and you learn the defense. I mean, right now it's who can make a play? Who out there can make a single play for me? Because they went four quarters without a single guy making a single play for them.
Yeah, I mean, that Dave, that was the thing that was so sort of frustrating. Like, they didn't even – like, I watched teams yesterday were bad on defense. They just, like, fall ass backwards into a turnover or a couple of stops. Hell, Tampa did it. They had fucking no answers, and they fell ass backwards into a couple of punts that the Saints did. I mean,
Stafford was handing out picks like they were candy tonight.
Yeah, Detroit is fucking terrible. Darnold looks good, by the way. But on a positive note, Dave,
did the Jets break 50 yet?
They have not, but they probably will.
They're saving that for the Saints.
Do the Saints play the Jets this year?
No.
I don't think they do.
No.
But on a positive note, Dave, before we get back to the negative, this Saints offense, I know Tampa was 32nd on defense, but they added a bunch of dudes, especially on their front defensive line, and they couldn't get the breeze. This offense, it looks fucking unstoppable. It looks like they fixed third down. Yeah, they can't run the ball, but they'll fix that when Ingram gets back. I mean, are you... just block the shitty defense out of your mind for a second. Is this offense?
Well, hold on. Your comment about they can't run the ball. I mean, we don't know that. They didn't really try. I mean, they can run the ball with Kamara.
Dave, unmute yourself and give thoughts.
I didn't hear your question. Andrew was talking.
Is this the best Saints offense since 2011? It sure fucking looked like it after 1 week.
I mean, if they continue to put up 40 points and Kamara runs for 3 touchdowns a game and Michael Thomas nabs 150 every game, you could say that. I don't think that what we saw on Sunday is going to be what we see for the rest of the season. You know, I think this is an unusual game. I would like to think that moving forward, the defense is going to look better and the offense isn't going to be as incredible.
Well, here's the thing that I was thinking of, and we touched a little bit on it, Andrew, today, texting back and forth, but Michael Thomas, he caught fucking 16 balls on 17 targets. The one he didn't catch was a drop. It wasn't like he dropped 180 yards on 6 catches because he had a 60-yard bomb. He was fucking uncoverable. And I don't know. I know, granted, Tampa Bay's secondary is kind of trash. Grimes is out. Hargroves isn't that good. But I don't
Hargroves
know
got
what,
hurt in that game, too.
Yeah. I don't know what teams are going to do with the Saints offense, because when you have Kamara and you have Thomas and you have Ben Watson, who, look, we make fun of him because he's 100 years old, but he can still run and he can still beat crappy linebackers in the middle of the field, I don't know what teams are going to do.
Yeah, Watson does, that feels like a huge upgrade. I mean, obviously, Fleener was kind of the guy last year.
Was his family sitting in your section, Dave?
No, he wasn't. None of them were. Somebody, a season ticket holder owns those seats now. So I don't know who owned them before, but now it's just a regular dude and his buddy. Wait, how many yards did Watson end up with?
He had like
42.
Yeah.
All right. Close to 50. He can get to 800.
Was that what you predicted?
Yes.
Yeah, I remember. I said, yeah.
800 yards. It's on the way, man.
Yeah, pretty much
50
there.
A week.
It could happen.
Yep.
50 a week will get him there.
Yes, it will.
And he's gonna have two games like he had in 2015 where he just teams are gonna be like, Ben Watson, you were gonna beat us, and he's gonna be like, cool, and he's gonna catch 7 for $110. He'll have 2 weeks like that.
Well, I'll tell you what, if the defense keeps this up, Breeze is gonna have the record broken in week 3.
Yeah. Against Atlanta, which will be fun. Yeah,
well, that would be fun. You know, I think the offense is exciting, and if there is a silver lining here, it's that, man, if this defense can do anything. And again, I'm not sure that it can get much worse.
It can't get worse than 34 points before they punt.
Right. So if this defense can start to play the way we think they're capable of, and this offense – I don't know that they're going to maintain a 40-point-a-week level, but if they can stay on this – if Breeze can stay hot like this, they're not going to lose a lot of games. So I think ultimately this comes down to execution, effort, and, you know, I do think this got worse with Dennis Allen deciding to put two elite receivers in press coverage, you know, and I think he trusted that Crawley and Lattimore were good enough – to man up on those guys, and clearly they're not.
That didn't bother me as much as him just, like, not changing it. Like, I understand, and, like, the game plan, you had it, it didn't work, you can't get home on the blitz, you got single coverage, they're getting roasted. But the thing that I didn't like, Dave, is, like, they didn't switch it. I felt like they didn't switch it up. And, you know, when you're getting burned like that, you got to, like, do something different. And I guess... You know, maybe they'd have died by death of a thousand paper cuts, but at least it had been a different death from the guillotine of the bomb.
Yeah. I mean, you can't give up the big play like that. I mean, that just can't happen.
Dave, your boyfriend was sorely missed. he was, I mean. The most infuriating thing to me... was
Mike Gillislee's.
Why do people keep saying that?
Because okay, you want to know why?
40 points.
Oh no! What's disappointing to me about Gillislee and the fumble is this guy Gillislee was brought in after training camp. He was signed to be a veteran guy. You know, after Jonathan Williams worked his butt off in training camp, and I thought did pretty good, and wound up getting cut. Boston Scott looked good. They bring in Gillislee. And I feel like when you're brought in that situation, the one fucking thing that you're not supposed to fucking do is fumble the goddamn ball and hurt the team like that. And I just – and he goes in there, and his first time out, he's fucking shit up for us. The new guy is fucking shit up, and I don't take kindly to that.
Yeah, that's fair. But look, I think at the bottom line here – the offense got the ball 11 times. They scored 6 times. All right? And 5 of those 6 were touchdowns. So
They were much better on third down.
I mean, I get that we can kind of nitpick the offense here and like, yes, I wish Michael Thomas hadn't dropped that one of the 17 targets that he had. And, you know, I wish that Gillislee hadn't have fumbled.
Why can't
one
you
time,
be perfect, like, offense? Why can't
I know,
you be perfect?
I know. I like we're chasing like let's not pick holes in the offense here. They scored 40 fucking points. If there's an issue here,
they scored 40 with no turnovers and not really great field position.
Right? That's right. They never had good field position because the return game is terrible as always, and yet they put 40 points on the board. And Tampa had no answer for Kamara, no answer for Michael Thomas. No answer for Ted Ginn. No answer for Watson. And most of all, no answer for the 39-year-old Drew Brees.
Where was Tre'Quan Smith? I paid $15 for him, and I think he caught as many passes as me. I was very disappointed in that.
Yeah.
Here's a theory that I have, and I want to run it by you, Dave, because me and Andrew, I don't know if we talked about it on the Patreon podcast, Andrew, but I like this theory that I have, and I want to run it by Dave. The Saints offense, Dave, has so many good players that Sean Payton doesn't have to have a good game plan. He can fix it on the fly, and they're like Kamara can just make something out of nothing, like he did a bunch of times yesterday. Like it doesn't matter. Like the play doesn't matter because Thomas and Breeze, Kamara, they'll make it work. But the Saints defense, I mean, they have Cam Jordan and they have Lattimore and they have Marcus Williams, and those are good players. But they need Dennis Allen to have a really good game plan, and he got the pants coached off him yesterday, and he couldn't make adjustments. So they are very coach dependent. So I guess my question is, 1 week in, how are you feeling about Dennis Allen?
I'm not making any snap judgments or declarations or
Dave or people do not come here for reasonable thoughts.
No, no,
they
no,
come
no.
here
I'm
for
not,
snap judgments
I'm,
and emotion.
No, because I'm not doing it. Because look, I'm human, and
barbecue your ass,
and I learn as I go along. And you know, if last season hadn't happened, if the Saints hadn't started off looking like an 0-16 team last season, only to turn it into gold, then maybe I'd be right there alongside you today. But I'm not going to do that. I'm going to certainly give it another game.
Do you agree that this is a must-win against the Browns at home?
It's hard to say that it – I'll say this. It's – as far as the records are concerned and standings are concerned, no, it's obviously not a must-win. The Saints can then start winning, you know, and everything can be hunky-dory. But what I would say is if they don't look good against a team like the Browns, then I don't see how they're going to look good against any other future opponents. I mean, the thing about last season is those two games that they lost to start the season, those were the good teams. That was to the Vikings, and to the Patriots.
That's right. A team that beat them in the playoffs and a right. team that was in the Super Bowl.
Right.
Here's the thing.
That's a far cry from Tampa.
Exactly.
And the Browns.
Here's the thing.
Exactly.
Cleveland
home,
is a
both
fucking
of those
must win.
Right.
I am trying to get approval from WWL. If the Saints lose, I want to wear a fucking bag on my head next Monday at 6:45 a.m. If they lose to Cleveland, if they lose to the 131-1 fucking Cleveland Browns, it's a fucking disaster. It is a must-win game Sunday. It just is. Like you can't lose to fucking Cleveland at home if you have aspirations of going to the playoffs
you
and winning
yourself?
A Super Bowl. You can't. You can't.
Ralph, did you just mute yourself?
Did I?
I don't know. Hilarious. You like went off right as you started your rant, and then you came back right as you ended your rant.
Yeah, there was a lot of dead air there. I mean, I don't know if your computer picked up your talking, but there's a lot of dead air there.
Well, look, I'll repeat myself then. I asked WWL, I want to wear a bag if the Saints lose to the Browns because it'll be a disgrace. You can't lose to the 1-31 Browns. You can't.
How long has it been since they've won a game?
I mean, they beat San Diego in week 16 of 2016.
So
they haven't
like
won a game since. They haven't won a game since Donald Trump's been sworn in as president.
Whoa, 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 whoa! They're 1-31-1.
Yeah.
Give them some credit. Don't forget the one tie.
The one tie. We'll get to that. We'll get that later in the picks. Before I get to questions, and oh, by the way, go to mybookie.com. They match your deposit dollar for dollar. You can get up to 1,000 points bonus. You can bet on fantasy. You can bet on regular games. It's not just important on who you bet on. It's important on who you bet with. Go to mybookie.com. We got a ton of questions. This is from Wallace, Andrew. Should I invest my life savings
into Jack Daniel's stock by halftime is if the defense is just as bad next Sunday, Ralph's consumption alone should make me millions. I mean, if they give up 34 fucking points.
I mean, I think you invest in black market heroin. I mean, you know, the fan base will buy anything from you at that point.
I mean,
if Tyrod Taylor and the Browns start lighting us up in the dome, I mean, there's nothing. There is no drug you could not sell to the Saints fan base.
What the hell is the world coming to?
Andrew, looking at our, this is from Dylan. Looking at our schedule and our defense, how funny is it that people think we will win 12 to 13 games? Do you think we even get to 10?
Yeah, I mean, 10-6 is my prediction. I'm gonna see this defense lay an egg like that again back-to-back weeks before I go down from that.
Dave,
I don't know. If the offense was horrible, I'd feel differently. But
Dave, are you
this
wavering?
Offense is set up to still win.
Dave, are you wavering?
No, I'm sticking with what did I say? 12-3? 12-4?
12-4. I said 12-4, and 12-4 is looking not happen. 12-4 is not happening.
Well, I certainly expected them to win this one. That was certainly one of the 12, so now they're going to have to steal one somewhere else.
This is a good question, Andrew. This is from Ryan. Why didn't Tom Payton stop Fitzmagic? Is Tom Payton a lesser wizard?
what was the name of that long snapper again that came from the Eagles? Darnboss or whatever?
Yeah.
Darnboss. I feel like Magic and Saints kind of backfire after whatever happened with him.
This is an interesting question, Dave, from Will. What's the combined yardage for Josh Gordon and Jarvis Landry? 425?
Oh, God.
I mean, is that a real question? Am I really supposed to? I mean, it's not going to be 425. I'd say somewhere like 175.
God. I don't think Tyrod Taylor can expose the Saints with his arm like Fitzpatrick did.
Did you guys watch?
Tyrod Taylor has accuracy issues. I mean, granted, it was pouring down rain in Cleveland, but he was still 15 of 40. And at the end of the game, man, they had a couple of dudes wide open that if he could have hit them, they could have. Maybe they'd have had that field goal block too. But they had multiple chances and pretty easy throws that I felt like he missed. And I feel like Pittsburgh, I feel like their defense is kind of shitty, you know? And Cleveland didn't really light them up. But, of course, the Saints' defense is shitty. Here's a question. Andrew, this is for you. This is from James. Can we replace Davison with a trash can?
Davison was one of the better guys, I thought. I mean, at least in the second half. You know, he had a few tackles, a couple for a loss. His run support was bad early, and then it improved. I don't know. I feel like it's unfair to pick on Tyler Davison when if you go up and down that roster defensively, you know.
Here, this is a great football question from Skooks, which is strange because Skooks usually goes to the comedy. But this is a really good football – Skooks. So this is a really good football question. Are there any signs that Peyton might be interfering with Allen's game plan – and the way he, according to Ryan anyway, did with Rob Ryan? I want you both to answer, so Andrew, go first.
So far, no. I mean, he made some comments that, you know, they made some mistakes coaching-wise, and, I mean, there were definitely some implications that some of this was on Dennis Allen. So if he's not involved yet, I feel like that was – maybe making a signal that it's coming, that his involvement is coming.
Dave, did you feel like
I don't really feel like that. You know, one of the things that Rob Ryan mentioned back then was, you know, signing a guy like Jairus Byrd who doesn't fit in their system and paying him all that money. I mean, the Saints really haven't, they haven't really gone out and signed anybody big or huge that you would build a defense around.
The guy they pay the most money to this offseason, you could argue, is playing out of position.
Yeah, ooh, what's DeMario up with that? Davis. Like, why would you sign a guy and pay him $18 million and not play him at the position where he can maximize value for you?
You're talking about DeMario Davis?
Yes.
Yeah, that's a good point, actually. Now, see, that's one of those things that would be a sign, of Loomis and Peyton, signing a guy and not really consulting with Dennis Allen and not really asking him whether he fits in the system or whatever. But I don't see signs of that. I'm not saying it's not possible. I'm not saying it's not happening, but I don't see signs of that. It could be maybe Dennis Allen in the offseason was like, hey, I really want to get this guy or I really want to get this guy. And Sean Payton said, oh no, well, I want to get, somebody else, and maybe Dennis Allen feels like he's not being given enough of a chance and not being given enough, of the right weapons or tools, to really, implement his plan the way he wants it and run a defense the way he wants it. That's possible, I guess, but I mean, there's no way we would know that.
What I understand is why do we only get 1 year of defense every 4 years?
It's like Saints good defense, and I said this on Channel 4, Saints good defense is like a presidential election or the Olympics. You get it every 4 years. You got it in 2009. You got it in 2013. You got it in 2017. You can get it again in 2021. Maybe Teddy Bridgewater can lead them to the promised land then. I mean, that's what it is. It cycles every 4 years. This is a good question from Hutsley. Dave, are we back to this shit again?
I think that summarizes how every Saints fan feels right now. I mean, that's well said, just because I'm pretty sure that in some form or another, every Saints fan has said that over the last 24 hours.
Well, it's funny because really and truly this is typical Saints. This is the typical Saints season opener.
And you could see Sean Payton felt that way in his press conference.
Yeah, and this can only go one of two ways. This is going to go like it did last season, where they'll turn it around and they'll be great. Or it's going to go like all the other previous seasons, like we were talking about earlier. Seven or eight games, based on their awesome offense. And, they'll have to put up 40 points, 7 weeks or something, just to out-best the other team. But this is really going to go in two directions. And I think, obviously, we're all hoping it's going to go more like last season. And considering that... this is, for the most part, a lot of these guys on the team this year are the same guys that were on the team last year. So, I think it's just, this is a good swift kick in the ass. I think maybe these guys really were kind of reading the media, reading the press, all that kind of stuff. I mean, Jesus, on Showtime, everybody on that Inside the NFL, they all picked the Saints to go to the Super Bowl. Two or three of them picked the Saints to win.
Stephen A. Smith picked the Saints, which I fucking
hate.
He
doesn't know anything. So,
screaming A.
So, I mean, I think they probably were kind of starting to believe a little bit of that. So I think this is good. I think this is the punch in the mouth they needed to say, wait a minute, we're really not that good. And even if we are that good, it's certainly not just going to come to us.
Joe asks, Ralph, where's your cat at 6:45 in the morning? That's a good question. I feed them right before I go on, so they don't meow like crazy. But let me tell you, you're going to have cats and you're going to have a baby. My dream scenario is for one of the Atlanta games, I want my son to come marching in screaming 28-3 so I can have like 6 million views of video. That's my dream, Joe. So I'm working on it.
Yeah, where are your cats tonight, by the way? Are they...
They're asleep. I fed them before, And we have the filter now, so like the background noise doesn't
pick up as much. So we'll see.
Are your cats despondent after the game? They don't want to meow. They can't. They're speechless.
They're speechless. They're like, this shit again? Where's the defense? Let's get to the Saints game. I'll start with you, Dave. The Saints are favored against the Browns by 8.5. And yes, to all the people that asked, if the Saints lose, the sky is not only falling, it's a fucking piano and it will kill them. But Dave, the Saints are favored by 8.5. Who you got?
Well, I have the Saints, but as far as betting is concerned, I would take the Browns.
8.5 is a lot of points.
Yeah. Well, we said 9.5 was a lot of points against the Bucks. I'd probably take the Browns with the points, but I do think the Saints will win. I am going to maybe be naive, but I am going to assume that that this team is going to turn it around. And I think it's fortunate that we get to play the Browns at home, because if there was ever a game where you could turn it around, this would right certainly game. Be it. Yeah, this would certainly be it. And if there was ever a game that was going to show you, prove to you that you aren't as good as you think you are, this would also be that game. But, you know, the thing is this is not the same defense as all those years past. I mean, these are the guys on this defense, Ken Crawley, Lattimore, Cam Jordan, all these guys, they can, Marcus Williams, Von Bell, we've seen them play well. We know that they're capable of playing well. I mean, you couldn't say that for those defenses years ago. I mean, it was very rare where they played well. You know, this defense, they put together an entire season of playing, maybe not great, but certainly good enough. And that's obviously all we need for the Saints, for this offense. We just need good enough on the defense. And I certainly think there's no reason why we can't feel confident that these same guys can't play as well as they did last season. So I am going to say Saints 35 and the Browns 30. And
I'm going to ask you this trivia question. You think on it for a while. Who is the last Saints quarterback to defeat the Cleveland Browns in the Superdome? Think long and think hard.
Well, I wouldn't know the answer to this. I'm not one of those history buffs like you guys. But I'll say 35-30.
You need to give an MVP, right?
Yeah. I'm doing that right now. I'm going to say, it's like you can't even pick Breeze or Kamara. You got to pick somebody else. I'll say Will Lutz. He's going to have a couple of field goals. Crucial field.
I'm kind of surprised you didn't go with your boy Ben Watson.
Nah, he's still got time.
Not feeling that, huh?
He's still got time. He's got to warm up a little bit. He's older. You know, it takes him a little while to get into mid-season form.
Andrew, by the way, the answer to the trivia question, the last Saints.
Well, hold on. I want to answer it.
Go ahead.
Wait, so it's the last Saints home win?
The last Saints home win. Who was the quarterback?
Oh, first man. Well, it's been a while.
It's a long fucking time.
Is it?
He came in relief.
It's not Hebert, is it?
No, it's not. He came in relief and won the game.
But he didn't start the game?
He didn't start. He came in relief.
Was it Fourcade?
No, it was Steve Walsh's first game as a Saint.
Oh, my God.
Same
era, though. I'm right about the era. So I have the right era.
You do. You did. You had the right era.
What year was that? 1990?
1990.
Wow.
That is fucking bananas. The Browns are 13-4 all time versus the Saints. So, but Andrew,
yeah, well, the last couple times they've played him, they lost to Brian Hoyer and Colt McCoy, right?
Yeah. Tim Couch beat the Saints fucking twice in the Dome. Twice.
Those are probably the two only games he's ever won.
10% of his career wins are against the Saints. He was 22-37 as a quarterback.
Yeah, what's the head-to-head? Oh, it's I'm looking at it now. 13-4 Browns. Yeah, the Browns own the Saints historically.
They've won 5 of 6.
Yeah, that's bad.
So, Andrew, what do you got?
Yeah, I don't think it's going to be quite as high scoring as Dave said, but I think he nailed it. I think the defense is still going to be bad, although not as bad. I think the Browns are just not they don't have the firepower offensively. I think we'll see a couple sacks. Maybe they'll luck into a turnover. So, you know, we'll feel a little bit better about the defense. But I think the Browns are going to cover. I think it's going to be a close game. We're not going to feel too good about it. But I do think the Saints will get back to 500, and I'm going to say 27-24. And I'm going to say that it's going to be really uncomfortable late, with the Browns getting close to the Saints 30 with a chance to maybe try to send it to overtime. And Craig Robertson will be in the game and either get a key pick or a key sack.
That'd be fun times on Saints Twitter. Before I make my pick, I got a
former Brown player too, so
yeah,
it'll be extra
special. I gotta remind the people, we have a new Twitter feed. We have Saints Happy Hour. Search us for Saints Happy Hour. You can search us everywhere and find us on the Twitters. We got a new Twitter
handle. At Saints Happy Hour, yeah.
Saints Happy Hour. And donate, people. We have magnets. Dave got the t-shirts in today. They're fan-fucking-tastic. You can donate, get a t-shirt. You can get a magnet. You can host Drunk History. You can come on your own episode with us. You can do a quick shot with us. You got all kinds of fun stuff. Donate. It's awesome. Do it.
Saints Happy Hour Podcast, The Flamethrower.
Hey, man.
And if you buy now... But wait, there's more.
There's more. The Bass-O-Matic 7000. So I want to say I think this game, I know people feel good. They feel like the Saints will get it together. The Browns are terrible. I think this game is going to be a fucking disaster for the Saints.
No, it's
the Browns. So the Saints will make a fourth quarter comeback, and Will Lutz will save them, and the Saints will win 38-35. And we will all not know what to feel, because it will have looked like the Saints were going to lose to the fucking Browns, but they pull it out mostly because it's the Browns. And we won't know how to feel, but Will Lutz will be your MVP because he's going to bang one in from like 50 and win it.
At the
we
gun.
Don't know how to feel because the defense is still shitty, and it's the Browns. But 1-1 is 1-1, right?
Is the kick coming at the gun?
The kick will come at the gun. So that's my prediction. So my MVP will be Lutz because he will kick a 52-yard field goal at the gun. Thanks to everybody who has donated, who will donate. You should do it. Because it's awesome, and we need the money. We want the money, and Dave has made awesome t-shirts. Don't let his hard work go to waste. So for Dave, for Andrew, until next week, the bar is closed.